Young people become old people. Young adults become middle-aged adults. And middle-aged adults become senior citizens. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
In every phase of life, there's a lesson in changing. The environment is changing. Climate is causing tornadoes and hurricanes, floods, and multitudes of mudslides, some so violent and so frequent and devastating, we know that climate change is a real deal. You better wear your sunscreen when you go out to the beach. You know, when we were younger, we didn't have to wear sunscreen. But now, if you don't wear sunscreen, even if you are of color, amen, you're going to have some problems. In our communities, there's change. New buildings are spreading and coming up all through the land. I was driving through Washington, D.C. I go there every day on the metro, but the metro is underground. But I had a chance to drive down to my job on yesterday. And I was amazed at the buildings that have come up in the District of Columbia and in Prince George's County. It's amazing how much change has taken place. There are stores that have been mainstays. They are no longer in business. Hex. Sears. And if you lived in Philadelphia, Corvettes. No longer around. Not doing business any longer. Even on our job, we experience change. The way we used to do stuff, we don't do it that way anymore. Am I right about it? Those of you who are working still, amen, I'm going to be coming out of that soon, but amen. Those of you who are working know that change has taken place. Cell phones have replaced landlines. I don't know how many of you have a landline. I don't have one anymore, and I had one for a long time. I got a cell phone that I answer all my calls on. If you don't know my cell phone, you can't get in touch with me. You can even ask a person out on a date by texting and emailing. There's no more, girl, I'd like to take you out. What's your name? What's your telephone number? Oh no, not anymore. Then you meet a woman, you better have your phone out to take that number down. And then after that, they're texting back and forth.
Come on, preacher.
And so praise God. In reality, our brook is drying up on a regular basis. Am I right about it? Even when we came to the Lord, we didn't know it. But when we came to the Lord, we did not know that our brook had dried up. Most people don't come to the Lord because they riding high and they say, oh, I think I want to join the Christian community. It's because things have gotten bad that they say, wait a minute, I'm going to give my life to the Lord because my brook has dried up. Or when things have gotten bad as a Christian, amen, we start recognizing that our brook has dried up.
Yes.
In the book of Kings, we see a lot of changes. And it's filled with activities of kings of Israel and Judah, beginning with our favorite King Solomon. It ends up with King Zedekiah in chapter 25 of 2 Kings. Dispersed in both of these books are the 12 miracles of Elijah and also the 24 miracles of Elisha. You know the story that Elisha said to Elijah that I want a double anointing. You've done a great job, but I want to do a double on that job. You done 12, I want to do 24 miracles. And so he received a double portion. Now, the background of our text is that the author was talking about, the evil kings that ruled the nation of Israel. The 10 tribes. Jeroboam, those of you who've been studying, going to Bible study and going to Sunday school, amen, you know who Jeroboam is. Jeroboam and Rehoboam.
Yes, sir.
And they weren't brothers and they weren't twins. Amen. And Rehoboam was a son of Solomon. And he decided he was going to tax the people even greater than Solomon did. And so the 10 tribes left and they hooked up with Jeroboam. But Jeroboam was an evil king. He split the nation, amen, and he became a standard of evil. After him was Baasha his son, and Elam, and Zimri, and Omri, and then Ahab.
Go ahead.
Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he did so much evil that he became the new standard. Why? Because he married Jezebel. You know, the king always married fine women. Am I right about it? Amen. They were the top of the top. But Jezebel was a woman that worshiped Baal. Her name meant Baal exalts. And because of Jezebel, Ahab set up Baal temples. And he worshiped Baal himself. Now you know the Lord was angry at that one. And guess what? If the king is worshiping Baal, so were the people. They went right on down. And so in our text, this is the first time that we meet Elijah.
All right.
And he's introduced to us in a mighty way. He declared that for 3.5 years there will be no rain or dew in the land because of Ahab and because of his fathers and their rebellion against God. I want you to know that there's consequences when you don't follow God. And then after he said that, the Lord hid Elijah back up in the forest. Caused him to have a temporary home right next to the brook Cherith. And God called scavenger birds, ravens, to feed him meat and bread as he drank from the brook. Now, Bible doesn't say where the meat came from. Didn't say what kind of bread that it was going to be. He only said that he was going to feed him meat and bread. I don't know about you, because now we're in the consciousness of where, you know, we got to be clean. I don't know if we could go to the brook and drink out of the brook, because we're concerned about what might be flowing in the brook. And Lord have mercy, taking food from a bird. I don't know about that. How we going to eat meat or bread, and we don't even know where it came from. Of course, he probably was hungry. He probably ate anything. But the Lord provided. Just like he provided manna for 2 million people in the wilderness. And quail that came out of nowhere. Our God is able to do great things. Am I right about it? So, the only thing that Elijah was concerned about was the fact that he was being taken care of. And he places us in a position also to have our needs met too. We don't know where stuff is coming from. We don't know where things are going to open up on our behalf. But the fact of the matter is, we don't care how it happens. We just glad that the Lord remembered us and that he met our need. And so, praise God, we don't know where those blessings come from. But after a while, our brook will dry up too. And so, what are you going to do when your brook dries up?
I just want to talk to you, first of all, about before your book dries up, know that God is not limited.
Yes.
He's not limited by time. He can reverse the laws of nature. He is dimensionless. What this means is that he is not confined by or measured by any form of measurement. Our God is unlimited. Somebody shout, yeah. Secondly, when your book dries up, remember that God has created your next step. Our trust in God must be paramount and be a paramount principle and central tenet of the beliefs and the systems that we have effect on, that God is able to do it.
Yes.
Thirdly, we want to talk about when your brook has dried up.
Yes, sir.
Realize that God has another brook. The essence of the brook being filled with running water is that God knows exactly how to meet your needs.
Yeah.
So let me quickly praise God, go through these a little bit more in depth.
Yeah,
my first point is, again, before and when your brook dries up, know that God is not limited in his solutions for you.
Right.
Hezekiah asked for a sign. In 2 Kings verse 1 and 11, I mean chapter 1 and verse 11, to show that God had actually healed him. You know the story. Amen. He turned his face to the wall and he began to cry out to the Lord, because the prophet had said, time to get your affairs in order. And while the prophet was leaving, God spoke to him and told him, go back and tell them I'm giving them 15 more years. He said, I want a sign that the Lord has healed me. Bible declares that the sign was that the shadow would go back 10 degrees on his father's timepiece.
Well,
the shadow would go back. That's impossible, because man can't do that.
Go ahead.
Only God can move time back. Or Joshua, who was fighting the Amorites, and while he was fighting, he called up into heaven. He probably took his cell phone out and said, God, I need you to stop time right now. The Bible declares that he stopped. Amen. The sun right up there in Gibeon. Amen. And the moon, praise God. Amen. Was caught. Amen. In the valley of Elion. And he avenged his themselves upon the Amorites.
Well,
when you think about the fact that God can stop time and he can move time back. I seen it in Superman. I saw he had to go around, amen, the world 150 million times. Amen. Just to go back one day. But God, all he got to do is say one word. Time goes back. Hallelujah. Amen. Time stands still right there in the instance where it's at. The children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea and the Jordan River, because God called the waters to form a wall. And then he blew on the ground so that it became dust. That then they walked across the Red Sea and the Jordan River. Amen. They got dusty feet. Amen. And yet on the other side, only God can cause the water to stop flowing down the riverbed and cause it to stand up and become a wall. Amen. That you can walk through. I don't know about you, but we're serving unlimited God. Oh, Jesus turned water into wine. Oh, I know, praise God, you go down to Alcoholics Anonymous, they would love to find Jesus, because they would take all their cups of water and give it to Jesus, and he would turn it into wine.
I want you to know, praise God, that Jesus made the blind to see, and the halt to walk, and the dead to rise up. In John 11:43, the Bible declares that Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I bet you had to call his name, because if he didn't call his name, everybody in the grave would have died. That grave. Hey. I want you to know, this is my point. Yeah. God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or think. But you must believe God is according to the power that works in you. You might not see the way, but God has a way. You might have lost your way, but God still has the way. Gabriel said, with man, when he was talking to Mary, with man things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah, somebody. Shout yeah! So your book may be drying up, but know that God is causing the river of life to overflow its banks on your account with new solutions and new benefits. Don't ever give up, because God is on your side. My second point is this: when your book dries up, remember that God has created your next step. My reader, come forth. Amen. Read verses 8 and 9. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
Psalms 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that you are good people, and God has ordered your steps. God has created your next move, even when you don't even know what your next move might be. Psalms 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, your next step might not be visible. You might not know which way to go. But all you have to do is to believe God enough to take the step. You accepted Jesus Christ. You just knew that God was not going to accept you. All the stuff you've done, all the places you've been, all the people you was hanging out, you were saying to yourself, if I come to the Lord, he ain't going to accept me. But the word of the Lord says, amen, that he will save you. All you got to do is come to him. The believers were sitting on the side of the road looking for Jesus. Jesus showed up, and praise be unto God. The believers said, how can a man be born again? Wait a minute. Nicodemus, you don't know that. You're a man of the cloth. Where have you been? What have you been doing? What you've been studying? The word of the Lord declares that, amen, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you shall be received. Oh, you might not have been one that been in the church serving the Lord, been backsliding, doing all kinds of stuff, saying to yourself, I came to the Lord one time, but amen, will he receive me again? But I want you to know that the Bible says that he is added to the backslider. He can come back again and be restored, be rejuvenated. Oh yeah! You can be in the kingdom of God. Somebody shout yeah!
Well,
he opened up with open arms. The same faith which moves God to create that incredible step that you sometimes can't see. But you know what? God is able. He told Mary, the mother of Jesus, she looked at him. She said, what? How can this be? How can I become pregnant when I have not known a man? But praise God, she did not take a step back. She did not say it can't be done. But she took a step forward. Amen. And the Bible declares that she gave birth to a baby in the manger. My point is this. Just don't believe God to take the step. Then you can believe. Wait a minute. My point is that if you don't believe God, just go ahead and take the step. Then you can believe. The children of Israel didn't believe. They couldn't see the step. And look what happened to them. They walked, praise God, in the wilderness for 40 years. Didn't know what to do. Amen. Didn't want to believe. Afraid to believe. If you're afraid, say you're afraid. But just keep on taking the step. Because God has something in place for you. What is not explicit is that God caused them to walk in the wilderness until someone else came along and they did believe. Oh, that's right. God will move you off the scene. Put somebody else in your place who's ready to go forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Who wants to be replaced? Who wants to be the one that goes off into the side? Nobody. Everybody wants to be, amen, front and center. Well, look at this. What is not explicit, wait a minute, student, Zacchaeus didn't believe. Not Zacchaeus, Zechariah. He did not believe. This is John's, the Baptist father. Didn't believe. For 9 months, he sat there watching. And couldn't say a word.
Well,
his mouth was closed. His tongue was on the top of his mouth. Could not say a word because he did not believe. We got any believers in the house today? Say so. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Look, God, he had a whole lot of disciples. Until one day, he got together and he told them that they had to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. John 6:66.
Yes.
Oh, I should say John 6:66. Many walked away. Only a few could believe. Look at your neighbor and declare and ask them, do you believe? Do you believe? Jesus was left with 12 disciples.
Come on, sir.
Out of all those hundreds that were with him, they left. So you got to believe.
Say it now.
Amen.
You got to believe that God has created the next step toward your destiny. My third and final point is this. I'm going to ask my reader to read verses 10 through 16.
So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and thine, and for thy son. And for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Yes. And she went, and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days.
All right.
And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah.
Amen. Because in the reading of the text, when your brook has dried up, realize that God has another brook.
Yes.
Now what do you think, Elijah? What's your problem? I don't have that much meal, and you want to take the meal I have and you eat it? What about me and my son? What's going to happen? The Bible states that Elijah understood the promise of the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, God has promised much to you.
Uh-huh.
All the verses in the Bible are promises unto you. All you have to do is to believe those promises. You got to understand that God is able to provide another brook. It is clear that God had intended to keep Elijah and the woman and the son alive. God had chosen them just like God has chosen you. Anybody been chosen by God? Come on, raise your hand. God has chosen you for a particular work in the kingdom of God. And some of us, amen, the work that we do will come over into the secular world and begin to do great things there as well. For the world, the Bible says that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are omniscient. That the explicitity of God's word to Elijah suggests that God is knowledgeable of the future. He knows Elijah's future, and he certainly understands your future. If the word indicates that God will take care of you, the word applies not only just to the past, but it also pertains to the present. And you can reach your future depending on the fact that he will take you and take care of you in the future. Let's be clear. When Jesus told Nathanael that he saw him under the fig tree before Philip came and called him to be a disciple, you, praise God, can also know that he can see not only what you're going to do later today, but also what you're going to do tomorrow and what you're going to do for your tomorrows. God knows the steps that you must make, but he has let you decide upon your destiny and every step toward it. Be ready for some changes in your life. Don't be, praise God, stuck, amen, where you are because some changes have taken place. Be ready for some changes. Life is like a bumper car. How many of us have been in a bumper car? When you bump into something, praise God, what happens is you just keep on turning around and bump some more and bump some more until you get free. Well, the same thing is about life. When you, praise God, in life, there's going to be bumper cars. Amen. You're going to bump into stuff, and then you're going to have to back up, and then you have to go in a different direction. Well, nobody drives a bumper car and they stop after they get bumped and say, what's your problem? You bumped into me. The whole object is, amen, when you bump into somebody, you just, praise God, keep on moving, and you get bumped until you get free so you can ride around. Bumping, praise God, is just a fact of life. My brothers and sisters, don't become alarmed when you got to make some changes in your life. Don't become afraid because things are changing. Believe God. Believe that He's able. Believe that He can do it. Believe that He's brought you this far not to leave you now. Believe you. And amen. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I want you to know, don't get lost in this and what happens to you, but find yourself in this happening that's happening now. When we wake up in our minds, God is always with us. He never leaves us, and we can forgo the drama. Amen. The drama of saying, what's your problem? You see what you did to me? Yeah. I'm angry and I'm mad.
Come on, sir.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm upset about what you've done to me. Whoa, brothers, sisters. Amen. Just keep on rolling. You don't even got to stop and even entertain no drama. We are drama-less people. Drama is not in us. Drama is not a part of us. We don't have to worry about the drama because God has already taken care of the drama. We can run our race with fear and trembling because we know that God is able. So what's my point? God take care of His own. He desires that you reach your destiny and that He keep you until you get there. Stop wondering and begin to believe. Stop worrying and begin to trust. Stop trying to do it your way and have faith in God. What you're going to do when your brook dries up is the question. Let God help you find another brook.
Hallelujah. Let the church say amen.